Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. That time of year when we record our annual offering has finally arrived. We are on the eve of the Six Nations, Scotland, Wales coming up in a couple of days. David, Matt and Alan coming out of podcast hibernation to bring you our take on all things Scotland and the Six Nations. Alan, how are you, man? Great to be speaking to you again. We don't speak when we're not recording. So are you well? Everything okay?
And if that's the case, we haven't spoken for maybe 6 months. So yeah.
Good, I know.
Good to catch up. Yeah, had a second child. It's really hard.
Did you? Yeah. That is good news.
But we're also meeting up in 2 days in Cardiff. So
we are. The live pod on the train is going to be pretty good. We'll come back to that later on.
Matt, there's like Matt, women laughing behind you, by the way. I can just hear it.
Yeah, Matt, where are you?
Can you mute?
I will mute. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm in the airport. Coming back to Edinburgh after day of work.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. I was in the Witherspoons, ordered myself a pint of Guinness, and then the fire alarm went off, so I had about a sip of it. So it's not been the best start to the evening, to be honest.
You had to leave it. That's a shame.
Yeah, I had to leave it. Yeah. No, I was like, where do we go? And the weather's been staff were like, we have no idea. This has never happened before. Good.
Wow, great. Well, very good. And great to chat to you, Matt. Any life updates that you want to bring in other than your fire alarm situation?
Not too much. When I saw Stu Mal deliver a fantastic victory over Newton Stewart at the weekend, big lunch, David Denton doing a Q&A. That's sort of been the highlight.
What was Denton's six months?
He was really good. Like, he was very entertaining. He was good value. Spoke pretty candidly about his time with Scotland. Interestingly, I thought the most interesting thing, he said that he had a lot of time for Andy Robinson, which it doesn't seem to be the consensus amongst a lot of players. So that was, yes, something different.
Did Andy Robinson like bring him into the setup though, right?
I think he might have capped him, to be fair. So maybe it makes sense.
Did he have any insights on Tooney or the current any current squad? Any gossip?
He said that Tooney's biggest issue when he first joined the Scotland setup was his man management, which I suppose came to pass with Finn. But apparently during and post COVID, he responded quite well to appreciating that the players were human and needed outlets, whatever that might be, and it's got a lot better at that side of things. So that was quite interesting as well.
Wow, nice to find an upside to the pandemic from Dent Wheezy there. It's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, very good. Well, look, we're on Operation Grand Slam watch. It's that time of year when everything is possible. Scotland versus Wales down in Cardiff, and you heard it right. the Thistle are going to be there in Cardiff. If you see us, please do come up and say hello. Always nice to hear the fans. If you remember our voices, this is a nice little refresher for you. Team named earlier today. Some interesting points in there. Let me just quickly run through it and we will then talk about it. I'll go 1 to 15. Pierre Schoeman, George Turner, Xander Ferguson, Richie Gray, Scott Cummings, Luke Crosby, Jamie Ritchie, vice-captain number one, Matt Ferguson, and backline Ben White, Finn Russell, the captain as well, Duhan Vandermeer, the Sione Tuipulotu, the second vice-captain in case you needed one, Hugh Jones, Kyle Steyn, and Kyle Rowe at 15, probably the biggest name that no one was expecting because it was also announced that Blair Kinghorn is going to be out for the first two games of the championship, which is a bit of a shitter. But Alan, it's that feeling again when the first Six Nations team drops. How did you feel when you saw it?
I think just a healthy mix of sort of hope, but also dread. I think the hope sort of always there with Scotland, Wales, especially because the Welsh team had come out first. And I think, you know, we were chatting about it earlier. I don't really know a lot of the Welsh players, even with the URC. I'm not actually sort of like quite clear sort of how good a lot of them are. So the sort of the hope raising, and then you sort of the Scotland team dropped and Kinghorn's not there. There's a few sort of selections that you're just not sure about. And I feel like going into this match, the hope's just overcoming the dread at the moment, but I feel as though the closer we get, the dread will sort of slowly rise to the surface.
I think Rising Dread is decent. Good album title, actually, as well. Matt, did you feel the dread?
Yeah, I know what you mean, Alan. I think when that Welsh team came out, it's missing a few guys who would have expected to be in there as well. And I think even beforehand, on paper, was sort of edging towards Scotland winning the game or being the best side. And then I thought the nail blow in the week was always going to be pretty big. And the fact that Sebastian hasn't, clearly, I guess, hasn't proved his fitness is pretty gutting. And I love Kyle Rowe, and he's been doing really well for Glasgow this season, but on the wing. And I think that's going to be a big, big test. Going to put a lot of high balls on him, as we'll probably discuss with the roof open as well. Like, that just worries me slightly. And then going back to the front row, just those replacements just maybe aren't as strong as we could have hoped for. But I still think the spine of the team is really strong. And I think although Richie hasn't maybe been the top form of late, I think him coming in to combat Rafael is quite a nice balance. I guess maybe Dempsey being dropped for Ferguson's the other kind of talking point I was a bit surprised by.
Nice to have a roof debate again. It was really great for Tooney and Gatland to kind of get that going. So it's sort of an old reminder of kind of like good times in the past.
It's time-honored tradition, isn't it? You're pissed about the roof, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just mainly pissed about the roof because we've spent like £100 on these tickets and I don't want it to piss down and be a crap game. Like,
my point as well.
I also, I know there's been a few people being like, well, why would we give them an advantage? And I guess I feel for like a Gatland team, I feel like the rain is an advantage. I feel like they would prefer a limited match, much more focused around the forwards. I feel like that's kind of Gatland's bread and butter. Whereas, yeah. I feel like for us, we want Finn to be able to kind of implement that expansive game plan. And I'm just not quite sure if there is even a small risk of rain. I'm not sure if the benefit of maybe subduing the atmosphere is worth what we lose from an attack standpoint. / I want to watch a good match because it costs a lot of money. So yeah, I don't know. I just seemed a little bit odd, and I wasn't sure if it was actually a net positive for the Scotland team, and also just gives that sort of added bit of motivation for Wales generally, I think.
Do you think they get motivated by the roof?
It's a nice little talking point in the
And
team, the sort of
there's a crap team talk. Although I suppose
yeah,
with
but
full
do you know what?
Contact, as sure as
Yeah,
anything, is the team talks are no better at the professional game
exactly.
than they are at school.
I'm fairly certain that our like university rugby team talks were on the whole better than most of those best the Six Nations teams. So this gives them just like an additional piece to get the
This
Welsh
time
team going.
next year, they're going to click in, and it's Gatlin being like, they made us keep the fucking roof open. go out there, boys, and shoot and make them regret it. Actually,
yeah.
Now I'm saying it, that is quite good.
So,
it's going to be interesting
yeah.
to see. Do you want to double click on Kyle Rowe at all? How are you feeling with him at 15? It's a real shame because Kinghorn, it feels like a lot of the build up right up until today was about how good Kinghorn has been, which makes me think it must have been an in training thing as opposed to a knock that he picked up in France.
Yeah, I know sort of during the Toulouse Racing game, he definitely took a few knocks and he had his knee strapped up, but at the same time he did play the full match and I'm pretty sure he took a kick in the sort of 78th minute. So
yeah.
And from what you said, he's been very much been front of center in a lot of what Scotland have done both internally and externally. So you would assume that he was going to be playing. So yeah, sounds like he must be taken out of training, which is annoying because from the sounds of it, he's sort of taken to the top 14 pretty seamlessly, right? And has been playing fairly well. So and whilst Cal Rowe is probably the obvious choice, given who else is in the squad, he's not a natural 15, and he's only had one cap.
Hell of a lot of narrative on Kyle Rowe in this last week, though. Three redundancies,
yeah.
Amazon Warehouse. Oof. There's gonna. How many times do you think they're gonna manage to crow that into the commentary at the weekend when we come back to look at it? A
it's
lot
like
of
a,
references to the Amazon Warehouse, I think.
Yeah, it's sort of like the slightly more sort of bargain version of like Finn being a stonemason. It's
yes.
But it's nice, and look, actually, fair play—he comes across really well. And
I actually do want to make that point. I thought he came across really well. He got a lot of the stuff he'd done.
I guess the Welsh fullback is similarly wet behind the ears, so it's not
he's
as if
even
he's
wetter.
Up against.
He's got zero.
Yeah,
he's got zero caps.
Well, yeah, exactly. I guess he's maybe played a little more at 15
soaking
professional
wet.
Game, but. It's not like he's rose up against Liam Williams or Halfpenny, which may worry me a little bit more.
Yeah. Two Kyles in the back three as well. Probably the first time that's ever happened, which is good to see.
I think going back to the sort of thing about the roof, though, I think, you know, ultimately what Kyle Rowe does bring.
Leave the roof alone.
The roof again.
For God's sake.
Oh yeah, like ultimately, on the assumption that the weather's fine, you know, Kyle Rowe is a pretty incredible sort of like attacking threat to go alongside sort of Doohan, and you'd like to think sort of him and sort of Kyle Steyn can sort of hopefully manage a lot of kind of the more sort of defensive and kind of kick returns. So actually, maybe it might be sort of like as long as the weather's quite nice, sort of have relative confidence in him in that sort of 15 jersey.
I think Kinghorn just brings a bit more, although he's an attacking player himself, the fact he's got that range of kicks to his game just brings a bit more balance to a back three where Doohan and Steyn's probably natural instinct is to have a go.
Yeah. And maybe brings a bit more of like a distribution, a second distributor.
Yeah.
In the midfield,
yeah, exactly, yeah,
as well.
And I think that we discussed, or someone was discussing today, whether you could have played, you know, Hugh Jones at 15, put Redpath in at 12. So I think there were some options. I guess I appreciate Hugh Jones hasn't really played fullback in a while. It was more of a sort of bench option, but
and then Finney Ross
so
at
I was,
10.
I was going to try to. I was going to say, I was just going to say, where you touched on Hugh Jones there. Are we happy with Hugh Pilotu continuing?
Do you think if Hugh Jones hadn't had an absolute stormer last week, he would have got the role. It felt like the narrative was very much, you know, Redpath is carving it up for Bath. He's sitting alongside Finn. Out Tua Peloso is playing a lot of 13. That looks like it's a nice combination. And fair, it wasn't like Hugh Jones had done anything particularly badly. And actually, he'd be obviously been playing a lot in the wing. But it felt like almost like last week or sort of 2 weeks ago, the fact that Tua Peloso and Hugh Jones together were working together to carve open defences. I wonder whether that was just sort of the final push that Tooney needed to kind of keep that combo together.
Yeah. It did work really well in the last year's Six Nations. I was, again, watching the full contact, reminding myself that little kick through for Jones in England. It's just like, it's quite good.
Yeah, 100%. I think actually...
And Tua Peloto has like been playing very, very well as well.
Yeah. I feel like any combo of the three, though, you would sort of broadly be happy with. I feel like, you know, Redpath is just such a good player. And I think ultimately, you know, if he comes on early doors or, you know, with sort of 20, 30 minutes to go, you know, I don't feel like you lose anything, right?
No, not at all. But yeah, Finn and Ben White, sort of on kind of the steady as she goes, both in form, although Finn had that slight sort of brain fart towards the end of the Bath game at the weekend.
Yeah. Although I kind of got it. I think he was sort of going for the bonus point win, right? And do you know what?
Yeah. I could see it, but I don't want him to try that at the weekend.
Preferably not. But yeah, I think good that Ben White, I think obviously Ali Price maybe hasn't quite been carving up for Edinburgh. He's not been bad, but he's probably not been on his best form. And then it just feels like George Horn's just never quite been trusted for these big games.
No, but he is probably a better bench option for this type of game.
Yeah. No. Agreed.
Just looking at the weather for Saturday down in Wales, no chance of rain according to Apple Weather if you're into that. If you use them for your weather. 0% chance.
Met Forecast was giving me 20% earlier. That was what was triggering me. So,
Matt. Matt's gone through a tunnel. We've lost him. I don't know what airport tunnel. You know, it sounds suspect to me.
It's like a terminal shuttle. And I'm worried we're gonna lose
reception. Oh, that's all right. You do. Let us know when you're back. Send up a flare.
I can give it a shot now. What was the question?
No, there wasn't. I was just letting everybody know that you were off. That you were off for 5 minutes. You were all good. This is professional podcasting at its absolute best here. Alan, do you want to talk props?
Not massively, but I guess ultimately, look, we've got Schumann and Ferguson, who are actually broadly pretty world class. Would probably be in a line.
They're going 80. We need them to go 80.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I'm not sure if you need Schumann to go 80. I actually think Hepburn's a pretty solid replacement off the bench. And I actually think he can do a good job, especially with sort of 15, 20 to go. I don't know enough about Miller Mills. You know, given where...
Me neither.
Yeah, I think, but, you know, ultimately, given how much he's played or what level he's played at, you would like to think that you're trying to push Ferguson to go for as long as possible. I think maybe the only saving grace we sort of touched on earlier is the Welsh front row replacements are in a slightly similar position, where I think between them they've got like three caps, right? So it's not exactly like they're bringing on like Geth and Jenkins, right? So you'd like to think with someone like Miller Mills, it's very much a case of get on the pitch and just hold up the scrum.
Just hold on, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. So
he doesn't look like much of a rugby player, does he? Bless him.
That's a bit mean. Come on.
It's discussions we've been having this week.
Yeah, and
he looks like a National One rugby player. Yeah.
Yeah. So technically a rugby player, but maybe not a professional.
I don't know. I generally have never. I don't think I've ever. No, I've never knowingly watched him play rugby. So it's
no, this is the thing. But as Alan said, his background, he's a journeyman. So I am slightly worried if Ferguson goes down early. But then I think we have that, slight worry even if Nell was around and Sebastian. So it's like a perennial problem. I quite like Hepburn in the past. Once again, he's played a bit of test rugby, but not for a while.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Still a bit of an unknown. I think the fact that is Batty injured or fit? The fact he's leapfrog Batty is quite interesting. He must have been doing pretty well in training.
I haven't seen anything to say Batty was injured, but and so to your point, it feels like he must have done something to show enough anyway. Because actually, I think Batty's been playing pretty well, right?
I don't think he's ever let Scotland down. Coming off the bench,
not at all. And Rory Sutherland just hanging out in Oyonnax, not getting caught, or is he injured?
He's not in the squad, is he?
No, I don't think he is, but obviously he's out in France now, isn't he? So, or is he?
Yeah, is he injured at Oyonnax?
Yeah.
Rumours that Glasgow wants him.
Yeah, he's still like 31, so.
Yeah.
Especially for a prop. In comparison to WP and L, he's absolute, Scribing. Junior. But yeah, I think to your point, if Xander goes down on like 10, 15, then probably getting a bit worried.
Xander red card. Classic.
Xander.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
What's more likely, early injury or early red card? I
think it's even. Xander's got a pretty good injury record. I feel like he's got through a lot of games.
Yeah, he's pretty durable.
So probably a red card, to be fair.
Dave, do you remember the last time we went to Cardiff? Oh no, it was a decade ago.
The hog red, the hog red card was horrific.
I think that's one of my greatest fears: travel all the way down, and then early red can't happen again. Surely
that was bad. That was very, very bad. Actually, in a way, the trip to Cardiff 2 years ago was almost as bad because we went down with so much hope and then we just got ground down into a horrible, we didn't perform well and just got nothing and it was crap.
But remember arriving in Cardiff and we were having a drink by the castle and the Scotland team decided to get out early from their coach and walk to the stadium just kind of set a marker and soak up the atmosphere, I guess. And I remember all of us, we were so pumped. And we're like, we're going to win. This is a sign. And then hog off. Lying all day. Yeah, lying all day.
It was a good time, though. It was a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
On the rest of the bench, I suppose, on the forwards anyway, Sam Skinner and Jack Dempsey, there's arguments that you could make that both of them should be starting or could easily be starting. So happy to see them come on at any stage, Alan.
Yeah, I think in the row, Richard Gray still seems to be sort of the first name on the team sheet. And it would have been interesting if Gilchrist was available, whether he would have started. I'm very much sort of a Scott Cummings fanboy and feel like he has to be starting now. I just think if we're going to win, especially the bigger matches against France and Ireland, I think Scott Cummings clearly comes with his weaknesses, but I think he has the ability to kind of, on his day, compete at the top table. And I think he's kind of got to be given a run throughout the whole of the Six Nations. I say that now, and he'll almost inevitably get dropped for Gilchrist next week. But I like the idea of having those two, and then sort of Skinner is just like an incredibly solid option. Off the bench, you can also cover the back row, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then from the backs, George Horn, obviously, we touched upon there at scrum half. Ben Healy and Cam Redpath rounding out the 23. Doubt we'll see much. Ben Healy, Finn will probably go 80 or 75, depending on where we're at.
Yeah. Unless we're like 20 up.
Yeah, yeah. Just saying, yeah, Healy to come on to close out the comfortable victory, but don't know if that's going to happen.
Hopefully see a little bit of camera path. I guess if you think about it, you know, sorry, go on now.
You sort of skimmed over the back row.
Did yeah. I skim over the back row?
Yeah.
Oh, we have the starting back row. Yeah, we haven't really done that, have we?
Yeah, it was
Luke
a touch
Crosby
the...
at six. Jamie Ritchie and Matt Ferguson. Obviously, Darge not fit enough, but he's going to be back for France. What do you make of it, Matt?
I guess the Darge injury sort of forced a rethink. And I wonder if with Ritchie in there in particular, and Crosby maybe to a lesser extent, it just shows that they're slightly worried about the breakdown. And I do think that particularly that game 2 years ago, we just got so much of our attack slowed down by a pretty savvy Wales team. I think Rafael is just super strong in that area. So maybe with those three, you've got more sort of breakdown specialists. Matt Ferguson to a lesser extent. But then I don't know. I think I would have been quite happy with a sort of Ritchie, Ferguson, Dempsey, just to try and get as much physicality in there as possible. Because I think, you know, this isn't a Wales team of old. And I think it should be easier, at least on paper, to match them physically. So I'm kind of surprised they haven't gone for Dempsey. I wonder if there's questions over Dempsey's fitness, just because he hasn't been playing as much this season. I think it would be an interesting tournament for Crosby. I don't feel he's really stamped his mark yet on the international game. So sort of this is a big chance for him on Saturday.
It is quite funny listening to the BBC preview podcast and their interview with Crosby that he started in both of those wins against England and Wales at the start of the tournament last year and then didn't play a single minute afterwards. It's quite mad.
Yeah, I was trying to remember it though. Was that because Jamie Ritchie came back? So, or was it just because, or who did they drop him for? Is what I was trying to sort of remember. Because it was.
I mean, Darge came in, didn't he?
Yeah, it was more a case of a player coming back rather than him sort of being dropped. Hamish Watson came in. So Hamish Watson got brought in and Crosby dropped out for
it's a different look, isn't it?
At least for the French match last year. Yeah. No, it'll be interesting. I guess he's got his Japanese samurai warrior tats. He was getting a lot of airtime as well.
Interesting to see if they get any comments in the commentary this weekend.
It did feel sort of in the run-up that, and especially just because of how many man of the match performances he's had for Saracens, that Christie's stock was rising hard.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have lost money on Christie this week. Like, there's a lot of money that's gone down on him to start. He's not even 23.
Yeah. And I get the sense
of people
who...
Do you think he's seen as a little bit lightweight almost compared to the other options?
Probably in comparison to Crosby, but not Ritchie. But then I don't know. Maybe they sort of always they would have seen him as sort of an option. Once Darge was out, maybe they thought Ritchie was the best option to have in that sort of kind of like fetcher role. And then to your point, they wanted a bit more sort of size in the other flanker role. Mm. But yeah, it just feels like anyone who sort of follows the Premiership closely has been sort of raving about Christie. And whilst obviously Saracens aren't the team they once were, he's still operating in a pretty class team, right? So surprised that he hasn't sort of made it onto the bench. But I wonder if he's the sort of player that, if he's not starting, does it make sense to give him a role on the bench versus like a Dempsey, who kind of really brings that impact with sort of 25-30 minutes to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to be an interesting one. I think we're talking an awful lot about narrative on our side of the coin. I think you know, the roof is going to be open. But I think this is it's Gatlin back again. I would have thought there'd be some sort of pre-match tribute for JPR Williams or something like that. A young Welsh team. Is everything adding up here for a valiant Scottish loss? Or do you think we're going to be able to pick up our first win since 2002, Matt?
Yeah, I've been sort of building up that narrative in my mind that it just creates a bit of a pressure on a lot of fronts that maybe the Scotland team haven't proven themselves that great at dealing with. But then, I don't know, I look at it's going to sound quite arrogant, but I look at that, the lineups, and I don't think that many Wales players would get in the Scotland team.
I agree.
What we'd like to hear.
I agree
as well.
And I think
like, easy to forget maybe that absolutely battered them last year.
And it's arguably, it's like a less experienced team than last year, arguably less quality. There's maybe a few guys you think like Stafford Jenkins might push. I like Rafael a lot. Maybe, you know, Scrum Hat. But beyond that, I think that we are the stronger team on paper. But I think that the Gatlin factor is big, but you know, he can only do so much with the tools at his disposal, I guess.
Just looking at it now, the odds have changed since I last looked. Scotland are now 3-point favourites away from home in Wales. You liking that?
Not really, but it's not like the battle. Sorry, go on.
Interest you in a Scotland win, a Doohan van der Merwe try and a Kyle Steyn try at 15-1? It's an interesting little option there.
I like it. Maybe if the roof was closed, though.
Maybe, yeah. They aren't offering any odds on the roof situation anymore. They've obviously closed that. They've closed that line. So you can't add that into your ACCA.
But no, I think 3 points is about fair. I think, you know, as you said, I think we're probably, the dread is very much driven from history and just the number of times in the more recent past when we've kind of gone into these matches with a lot of hope and that's been pulled away very quickly. And then obviously even, you know, further history where we just sort of consistently have lost at the Millennium Stadium. But, you know, as you said, if you look at on paper, even without Darge and Kinghorn and Graham, who are three pretty massive losses as well, it's like co-captain plus maybe two of the first five names on the team sheet. It still feels like we're a step up versus that Welsh side.
I think if we get parity up front and don't get dragged into an arm wrestle that they want us to, we should be able to outplay them. Our backline is much better. I think we're better at rugby than them. But, man, the roof's open. If we get a little bit of rain, if we get dragged into that contest, who knows? Karl Rowe gets a bit nervy, drops the first couple of balls. Whooshed.
Yeah, it's the sort of day that would be made for a Dan Biggar.
Yeah.
But I do take some comfort in the fact that Costello is playing, who I think is a very good player, but it's more of, he's like a kind of thin light type player. And I'm sure he'll be given some conservative instructions by Gatland, but I think if we can get to him, just put him under a little bit of pressure, then I think most days a team led by Finn would be a team led by him.
Well, let's hope that Saturday is one of those days. I think one final point that we maybe haven't considered, Alan, or certainly hasn't been talked about, do you think the guys will want to deliver a Six Nations win for Dodson in his last season?
I think you cannot underestimate the emotional impact of this being Dodson's final season.
Yeah.
Do you think in the next full contact series that will be the team talk? It'll just be Finn.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I forgot. Finn. The Russells hate Dodson more than anyone.
No, it won't be Finn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe you respect. Maybe you respect him though. Might hate him on a personal level, but you respect what he's done. So he's prepared to look past his family.
Yeah. No. Yeah. The next full contact is just Tooney just saying, It's like the fight. Yeah. It's like Lord of the Rings. It's like rather than for Frodo, it's just for Dodson as they sort of wander out into the Millennium Stadium.
Yeah, they're all tapping a photo of Dodson above the door as they walk out.
Yeah, just give it a kiss as they walk. There we go.
Dodson sends like a video tribute message to the squad
from the sauna. The
from the sauna. There's not a dry eye in the house as he delivers a rousing speech.
That could be our coverage of the Dodson era, I think. I don't need to go into too much more.
Some man.
But
I'm interested to see who they're getting next.
Yeah.
I think it was an Ulster fan account talking. It was like, has anyone else heard the rumors of who's gonna replace Mark Dodson? And I couldn't find anything else, but I took that to mean that Petrie might be a real contender.
Petrie, I mean, who else is in the guy who was the chief CFO who's now at the European
EPR? Yeah,
Dom
EPRC. Mackay.
Dom Mackay's surely on a list somewhere.
Yeah.
I wonder whether Petrie will be more likely, because it just feels like, whilst obviously Dodson has delivered on the commercial side, if it does feel like the rugby side, whilst not neglected, has definitely fallen behind kind of the other nations. And we've just not been able to, we've fallen behind when it comes to the age grade stuff. And now the Super Six seems to be disbanding, it feels like there needs to be a complete reassessment of what kind of club rugby looks like, right? And I just wonder whether they'll then lean towards someone who's got that kind of rugby pedigree as well as a bit of the commercial, rather than maybe just fully commercial. Petrie comes across pretty well as well, to be fair.
I've got no insight whatsoever if he's doing a good job at Ulster, though, right?
I mean, to be fair, Ulster look like they've been quite bad, to be fair. There was something about this Irish team. It's like the first time in a very, very long time there's no Irish players no Ulster players in the Irish team.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sounds like the right time for John Petrie to get out of there. Yeah, my work here's done, lads.
Where do we think Dodson's going to end up?
Retirement, mate. He's done.
Do you think?
Yeah, he's feet up.
Feet up. Sauna every day.
Couple of non-exec gigs.
Little nad for David Lloyd. Tell you what else he could do. He'll get a couple of non-exec gigs.
Yeah.
Easily.
I don't think he made enough money at the SOU though. I might have to take another exec gig.
One more.
Yeah.
Right.
So what are our predictions then?
Scotland by 6. Feeling good. And we're going to do it.
On the assumption that the roof is open.
I mean, I think that's confirmed though, right?
yeah. I think on the assumption it's not raining, I think it'll be very similar to the game at Murrayfield last year, but with less of a kind of pulling away in the second half. So, you know, where it's kind of like a 10-7 at halftime and then Scotland sort of slightly pull away just because they got a bit too much quality. So go with something like a 24-13. It's like an 11-pointer.
11-pointer?
Yeah.
Little Miller-Mills try on debut.
That'd be fantastic. Poor Johnny so Matthews. Good. I thought Matthews might get a little bench spot, continue his try tally.
I thought so as well.
I guess I feel like he might be next off the... If one of Ashman or Turner go down, he's probably next off... Next play,
he's got to be there, right?
Yeah,
he'll score against Italy.
Yeah, hat trick against Italy. Mark it right now.
I think Scotland by five. And with that, I'm gonna board my plane. Here we go.
Right, just drop mic drop.
Yeah, Scotland by five. Oh, I'm nervous though. I'm too nervous. I don't know if I can go.
Mate, don't just come for the bottomless brunch. You don't need to come for the game.
Oh yeah,
I can't wait. Can't wait for that sweet
brunch
sweet,
pre.
sweet prosecco for 90 minutes.
Prosecco and corn burgers all round.
Well, we're certainly very much looking forward to it, and we are going to try and keep doing podcasts as much as we can during the Six Nations, but we are, you can't trust us, but we will let you know as much as we can. Follow us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. Instagram is a little bit there, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And we will try and get out a few reaction pods as we go through the tournament, and keep you guys in touch. There's a live pod on the train, 9:38 from Paddington down to Cardiff on Saturday morning. Bring your own cans, and we will see you there. Cheers.
Cheers.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.